What if the greatest health crisis of our time isn't cancer or heart disease, but something far more insidious? The simple absence of human touch, eye contact, and genuine presence. We're living through an epidemic of disconnection that's killing us as surely as a pack-a-day habit. The numbers don't lie. Social isolation now carries the same mortality risk as smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Depression, addiction, and suicide rates climb year after year while we scroll through curated lives on glowing screens, mistaking digital pings for genuine connection. Yet here's the paradox. We're social primates, hardwired for togetherness, living in the most connected era in human history while feeling more alone than ever. Consider the rats in Rat Park. When researcher Bruce Alexander gave isolated rats access to morphine-laced water in the 1980s, they compulsively self-administered until overdose. But rats in enriched environments with companions, toys, and space to play, they barely touched the drugs. When Alexander published these findings in 1981, the psychiatric establishment ignored them. Decades later, as opioids ravaged communities, his insight became painfully clear. Addiction isn't primarily about the substance, it's an adaptation to isolation. Opiates don't just numb pain, they mimic the brain chemistry of feeling cared for, temporarily filling the void where human connection should be. This explains why the druggies who welcomed an ostracized eighth grader became a lifeline, not because of the drugs, but because they offered belonging when no one else would. That sense of acceptance, that feeling of being caught when falling, proves more powerful than any high. Isolation doesn't just fuel addiction, it directly causes suicide and sometimes violence turned outward. Mass shooters invariably share one characteristic: profound social disconnection. Our brains simply aren't designed to function alone. The solution isn't another app or medication. It's understanding the neurochemistry of human bonding and rediscovering what our ancestors knew instinctively. We need each other to survive. Most of us ignore our body's signals in service of productivity. Josh, a successful lawyer, exemplified this through alexithymia, an inability to feel emotions. Meditation retreats left instructors baffled when he couldn't find his breath. His breakthrough came through MDMA at a dance club, where he suddenly experienced color and three dimensions. While microdosing LSD, he finally accessed anger during meditation, feeling tension and fire he'd never known. For severe trauma, MDMA-assisted psychotherapy offers remarkable healing. During treatment, Maria's four-year-old self emerged, the child who witnessed murder and was left alone. Her body transformed as this younger self screamed, hit pillows, requested a hug, and cried for 20 minutes. By quieting fear responses and stimulating neuroplasticity, these medicines help integrate fragmented parts of ourselves. What psychedelics actually turn on is our sense of connection, the fundamental mechanism underlying healing across conditions from depression to social anxiety. Falling in love triggers a neurochemical cocktail. Testosterone, estrogen, dopamine, norepinephrine, endorphins, creating an addiction-like state. Brain scans of the love-struck mirror cocaine users, both showing elevated dopamine in regions governing goal-oriented behavior, explaining obsessive fixation and sleeplessness. After 6 months, dopamine yields to serotonin, reactivating rational frontal lobe circuitry and ending infatuation's delusional state. Relationships then grow complicated. We're initially drawn to differences, feeling our partner completes us by expressing traits we've denied in ourselves. Over time, these same differences irritate as we unconsciously project disowned qualities onto partners. What attracted us becomes what we criticize. The solution requires accepting these disowned traits in both partners and ourselves. Simple practices help: mirroring each other's words without judgment, synchronizing breathing, maintaining eye contact, creating arrival and departure rituals. These activate oxytocin, reduce cortisol, and help partners stay calm during conflict. Childbirth creates profound connection at the moment of physical separation. During pregnancy, the brain reorganizes at up to 250,000 cells per minute. What some dismiss as baby brain is actually neuroplasticity that may protect against dementia. After birth, skin-to-skin contact initiates co-regulation. Mother and baby synchronize breathing, heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature. Oxytocin rewards maternal behavior while triggering release in the newborn, teaching self-regulation. Fathers experience plummeting testosterone, enabling nurturing behaviors. Babies captivate us by design. Their big eyes and full cheeks trigger instant brain responses, and their first smile triggers mirroring grins and oxytocin in witnesses. Laughter, appearing around 3 to 4 months, puts both parent and child into parasympathetic states, promoting cardiovascular health. Games like peekaboo become neurological exercises, teaching resilience and the crucial skill of navigating rupture and repair, none of which happens while checking notifications. Our tribal instincts both unite and divide us. Oxytocin promotes in-group cooperation while fueling ethnocentrism and aggression toward outsiders, an us-versus-them mentality inherent in social primates. Men under oxytocin's influence become more self-sacrificing, yet defensively aggressive. And for those with anxious attachments, it can amplify negative memories rather than warmth. Yet bridging social divides shows remarkable promise. Imperial College London tracked 20 participants from their psilocybin therapy study. 17 reported substantial benefits, describing depression as disconnection and healing as reconnection to themselves, others, and the world. At synthesis retreats, connectedness increased roughly 180% after psilocybin sessions. MDMA-assisted psychotherapy reduced social anxiety in autistic adults, with benefits persisting 6 months post-treatment. These medicines help people overcome urban alienation and experience visceral urgency about connection, not just to other humans, but to the broader web of life. We're in an abusive relationship with our planet, facing catastrophic environmental decline and deep ecological grief. What botanist Robin Wall Kimmerer calls a measure of how much we love. E.O. Wilson's biophilia concept suggests our innate affinity for nature is essential to well-being. Research confirms this. Gardening lowers cortisol in veterans with PTSD and aids stroke recovery, while soil bacteria benefit mood and immune function. Psychedelics foster deeper ecological connection, helping people overcome urban alienation and experience visceral urgency about climate issues. Studies show psilocybin increases biophilia beyond egocentric perspectives. Our relationships with pets represent legitimate connection. Dogs co-evolved with humans for millennia, developing puppy dog eyes to trigger caregiving and increasing oxytocin through eye contact. As we approach death, psychedelics help by fostering acceptance and meaning-making. The antidote to fear of death is love. Loving people, life, yourself, connecting, being present. These medicines reset the brain by quieting the default mode network while creating hyper-connections between regions, helping people find meaning as they face mortality. Picture yourself paddleboarding on a misty lake at dawn. The mist recedes as you approach, always just ahead. This mirrors the Buddhist concept of samsara, our endless cycle of chasing achievements while missing the present moment. The prescription for our disconnection epidemic shifts from fight or flight to rest and digest through specific practices. Breathe through your nose with longer exhales than inhales. Practice left nostril breathing for 5 to 10 minutes. Do nothing meditation for at least 10 minutes daily. Try gentle yoga, sing or hum to stimulate the vagus nerve, float in water, or stroke your upper arms while affirming safety. The journey begins with connecting to ourselves through mindfulness, then expands outward to partners through deep listening and touch, family through shared meals, community through volunteer work, and ultimately to nature through environmental stewardship. From sustained eye contact to firm handshakes to regular cuddling, we are wired for togetherness. In a world that medicates symptoms while ignoring root causes, the most radical act is simply this: reach out, make eye contact, breathe together, and remember that your survival depends on the strength of your connections.